Let's take our Bibles this evening. Go to 2 Kings chapter number 6. 2 Kings chapter number 6. When you get there, say amen. I got my old Bible out tonight. How many of you got an old Bible that you may have put on the shelf and got a new one? Go by it every now and then. Oh, the memories. I remember just holding it in my hand. Can't tell how many times I've preached out of this Bible, how many times I've wept in this Bible, how many times the Lord spoke to me out of this Bible. And I thank God for His Word. Amen. 2 Kings chapter number 6. We'll read verses 1 through 7. This is probably to you on a Wednesday night, probably a familiar text of Scripture. That's where the Lord has led my heart this evening. The Bible says, "And the sons of the prophet said unto Elisha, Behold now, the place we dwell with thee is too strait for us." We could stop right there and preach. Amen. The prophet said to Elisha, "The place we at is too strait for us." I'm of the opinion you can't get too straight. Right. Amen. That's right. I believe the Lord likes it straight. And as we heard Brother Rackley preach on Friday evening, the Lord likes it narrow, straight and narrow. But here, they said, "Let us go, we pray thee, unto Jordan, and take thence every man a beam, and let us make us a place there where we may dwell." And he answered, "Go ye." And one said, "Be content, I pray thee, and go with thy servants." And he answered, "I will go." So he went with them, and when they came to Jordan, they cut down wood. But as one was felling a beam, the axe head fell into the water. And he cried and said, "Alas, master, for it was borrowed." And the man of God said, "Where fell it?" And he showed him the place, and he cut down a stick and cast it in thither, and the iron did swim. "Therefore," said he, "take it up to thee." And he put out his hand and took it. I'm going to preach on this subject for a little bit this evening. Don't lose your head. Don't lose your head. Or when the iron swims. You ever heard, "I'll believe that one when I see the pigs fly"? Something crazy like that. Well, iron don't swim. Iron's heavy. It's heavier than water, and it sinks. It's not natural to see iron swimming. And it didn't even say it floated. It said it was swimming. And I want to look at this text. I believe there's a lot we can gain from this portion of God's Word. First of all, just let me say a word about the water that this happened, where this took place. This was the Jordan River. And the Jordan River, just for our knowledge sake, anytime we read about the Jordan River in the Word of God, it's associated with depravity. It's associated with humanity. That's why Jesus and John, you'd see them baptizing in the Jordan. That's where flesh went down to die. And just in a geographical location, it was there where the Jordan, remember Elijah told Naaman about this same place to dip in the Jordan River, and he responded, "They be many rivers." And Jesus was baptized in the Jordan, identifying with sin and sinners. The Jordan River runs through three bodies of water and lakes, but it ultimately ends up down at the lowest part of the earth. I've been there, the Dead Sea. And down there, it's start out at Jerusalem, and you go all the way down to Jericho, and you get down, and that's where all the trash heaps and the filthiest, dirtiest part of the water is there down in the Jordan, and has to go through the Jordan to get down to the Dead Sea. But number one, concerning the text where this axe head went in, there was a purpose that this happened. There was a reason. It didn't happen just for any just out of midair. There was a reason. Axe heads, they don't just fly off. You don't just lose your head. It's a process. At one point in time, that head was on. That beam, that axe head was tight. It was snug. It was there to do its job. It was sharp. and it was cutting trees down. Trees were, the Bible word, felling. The trees were falling with a good sharp axe head. But there was a purpose behind this, and they were going to build something. That axe head was useful. And notice the trees didn't come to them. No, these people were going to the trees. They were going to build something. And that axe head had a purpose. It was to be used as a tool, but it got loose. It got separated. It got to the place where it could not even be used. Matter of fact, as it was separated, it even caused others to not to be able to work. They had to cease what they were doing to go and look for it. Don't that sound like Christians? How we get when we get dull and separated. I'm just starting to breathe. We're going somewhere. Notice the trees didn't come to them. They had to go to the trees, and so do we. And there was a purpose. Not only the purpose, but there was a problem. The axe head is a great picture of the Holy Spirit of God. And the axe head, as we read here, was loaned. He borrowed it. And without the axe head, the man couldn't cut the tree down. He couldn't get the job done that needed to be done without having an axe. And I just submit to you this evening, there's no way in this world we can live the Christian life apart from the working of the Holy Spirit of God. It won't happen. Apart from God's Spirit working in, by, and through us, we will not accomplish anything for the Lord. We don't have the power, the strength, not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord. And so this axe head was loaned. It's a picture of the Holy Spirit of God. And the man couldn't cut the tree down and wouldn't have had any impact had he not had it. He was helpless, hopeless, and without the axe head, so are we. Without the Spirit of God, we would be helpless. We'd be hopeless without the Spirit of God. We need the Holy Spirit. Last week during revival, it would have been a dry, dull, dead meeting. But the Spirit of God, God the Holy Spirit. Say, what happened last week? I tried to tell somebody about it. And there's one name you just had to bend here almost. It's hard to explain. People give you them funny looks when you try to put all that into words and formulate it into a sentence. It was bigger than man. It was just the Spirit of God moving in power. And oh, how we need Him to accomplish the purpose that He set us out to accomplish. But there was a problem. Jesus said in the Great Commission, "Go ye." But what did He say first? Before Jesus commissioned the disciples, "Go ye, therefore, and preach the gospel." Before He said that, He said, "Go back and tarry." You remember that? The Bible, Jesus said, "Go back and tarry until ye be endued with power." The power of the Holy Spirit. He said, "I will send the Comforter. I will send the Spirit. I won't leave you comfortless. I will send the Comforter. And tarry and wait until He comes." Because without Him, they would have accomplished nothing. But oh, when He came, the church exploded like dynamite and spread. And souls were saved and people were stirred. And the purpose was magnified, and that only came. They could only go after He had come. And we will only go in power and have any substance and sustaining power after the Holy Ghost has come upon us. Acts 1:8, after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, shall you receive power to be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria, and to the uttermost parts of the world. We should never take for granted. Listen. We should never take for granted the power that has been entrusted to us. The power that has been loaned to us, given to us to use, to have, to hold. You see this man with the axe, he would be helpless and useless. But somebody at some point down the journey loaned him and gave him the tool that was necessary so that he could get the job done and accomplish that he was told to do by the man of God. And don't you know, we should never, the Holy Ghost of God, the Bible says, what? Know ye not that your bodies are the temple of the Holy Ghost? He lives and dwells in me and you. Amen. Yes. And we cannot take that for granted. Because without Him, we can do nothing. He's been given to us as the servants of God. What an honor that God the Holy Spirit would give Himself to us. Not just on Calvary, not just 2,000 years ago, but today. He lives in you. He lives in you. He abides. We sing the song, He abides. He abides. Hallelujah. He abides in me. He abides. He's in you. Yeah. Well, that's an honor. That's a privilege to receive power from the Holy Ghost. We noticed the axe is on loan. Then the axe head was loosened. Here's part of the problem. Here's where things get loose. A lot of times we get so careless and take it for granted and lose the awe of the fact that He lives in us. He abides in us. And we get loose and we go on living and we go on working. We go on swinging the axe and trying to do it in the flesh and the power of the flesh. And before you know it, things will get loose in your life. There'll be motion, but there'll be no power. It'll be dull. And you'll still be, I'm sure He was still swinging and hitting the trees and knocking them down. But slowly but surely, things begin to get loose. And a lot of times, we take the axe, the power of the Holy Ghost, for granted. And it's just going to be there. We just take it for granted. Well, church is going to be good. It's going to be powerful. The glory is going to fall. The Spirit's going to move. Because we just expect Him to. Hey, don't take that for granted. What we experienced last week, I'm experiencing it right now. He's here. The same God that was here last week, He's here today. I come here tonight not wondering and wishing that He would mysteriously appear. No, He's here because according to His Word, He promised He would be. I prayed for Him to be. Did you? Didn't you? I hope you did. Don't just be loose with that. Don't take that for granted that He will come. Don't be loose about that. We need Him. If Morningstar Baptist Church is going to do anything of lasting and have lasting results, it's going to be done through the power of the Holy Spirit of God. And we cannot neglect and take for granted that we need Him. We can't get loose with that. We can't just, Brother Don, we need more than just grabbing this big old book and coming up here and picking a song and going through the motions, turning over, tossing it to me, and me get up and read a text and have a special and then close it. No, we need the power of the Holy Ghost. We need Him. I need Him. Apart from Him, separated from Him, when I get loose from Him, I am powerless. And so are you. We must have the power of the Holy Ghost. We must be attached to the head. Yes. We need to keep a close check, especially as much as we hit the handle. I ain't an expert in swinging an axe, but I have done my share of it. You ever had an axe and you go back and go to split that wood and miss? Boy, it'll jar you. It will. It'll jar you. And I'm telling you, in our flesh, we miss a lot. We need it, but with Him, this is the fact. Hey, get this. When we're attached to Him and we're close to Him, things in our life ain't loose, but we're tight with Him. He's tight with us. We're sharp. He'll get the job done, bar none. You can count on it. I'd come to church last week. I mean, this place was packed. People everywhere. We had a great preacher here, had good singing. There was people everywhere. And listen, y'all listening? This is the truth. I lie not. I didn't get nervous. Lord knows in my heart, not even a little bit, looking at all them people, thinking, what are we going to do next? Oh, goodness, what we do now? And I have been in services like that, and it get like that, and I think, oh, my, what am I going to do? Lord, help me, Jesus. I was loose. I was prayed up last week. I come expecting God to move. I was tight. I was close. Things have been too crazy lately in my life to be loose. I can't afford to be loose. It's too much in the balance for me to be loose. When you go making decisions like, hey, I believe I'm going to resign this church after 12 years, 11 and a half. I think I'm going to uproot my family. You better know. You better not be loose. Brother Steve, I called every preacher I know and say, what do you do? I don't care how good a preacher they are. I don't care how much I respect them. It boiled down to they couldn't tell me the answer. Only God could. And when you lose, you don't want to make big decisions like that. And not just residing down there, but taking this church. I had to know and to lead this church and to lead you and to be your pastor. I couldn't be loose in that. I had to know that the Holy Spirit of God was confirming, saying, yes, swing, take, move, and go. Hey, that ain't nothing to be loose about.
Amen.
It don't take too many whacks, and you'll mess your whole life up. You can ruin a whole church. I was looking at the fact, and the weight was heavy, that I could not only ruin that church and my life and my children's life and my marriage, I could ruin this church if I was swinging loose with the Lord's will, if I wasn't moving in the power of the Holy Spirit of God. And oh yes, the devil tried his tactics and antics, and he tried to get people here crossed up. Y'all didn't think I heard about that? There's a lot of them. There's a lot of them things still out there. You may tell you what's going to fix all that. Not going back. Don't you try to go back and fix it. Let's get tight with the Holy Ghost of God.
Amen.
Worry about you.
Amen.
Quit worrying about somebody else's axe head and say, oh yeah, they about to fly off the handle. They about to lose their head. No, you may tell you what you can do. For the good of this church and for the good of your family, worry about your head staying attached. You ain't got no time to try to fix nobody else's axe head. That's why God called me here, to take care of stuff like that, not you. You don't need to worry about that. The point is, hey, listen, Jerry, you need to not worry about nobody else in here. You need to come to church and try to let the Holy Spirit of God get tight, close. And then when you leave here, just try to stay close. Say, Holy Ghost, go with me. Guide me. You said you'd guide me. You said you'd guide my steps. Guard me, Lord. Don't let me get out of your will. When I go to work, Alex, don't let me fail, Lord. Holy Spirit, I don't want to get loose. I don't want to lose my head. Keep me straight, Lord, and guide me. Amen. That's right. And they was trying to do something good. He was swinging the axe. When the head flew off, he was busy. You know what? Do you know you can be busy and think you're serving and lose your head? Yeah. Motion out of God's will is commotion, emotion. We need motion that's connected to the will of God and the power of God and the Spirit of God. Amen. We don't need to go losing our heads. Amen. That's right. Notice in this story, God had a man. Said God's man. You know when problems hit? Please deal with this. Look up here at me. I wasn't being prideful, arrogant when I said God called me here to deal with stuff. God called me here because I'm God's man. I'm the preacher. I'm the pastor. I'm not being arrogant about that. Matter of fact, that's probably the most humbling statement I can make this evening. That brings the weight of heaven down on to realize that. But when problems happen, even when he lost his head of something that he borrowed, wasn't even his, and he lost it. And back in that day, and I'm not going to go back and preach history, but I'll just tell you, if you borrowed something from somebody in this day and lost it, it was a hefty price. You didn't just go to Lowe's and buy another. I'll just say that. We'll just leave that there, right? He had enough sense, though. As soon as he lost it, he knew it. I'm getting away from my outline, but I'm right in line. Listen, we need not be so loose that when we lose it, we don't even realize it. You say, I'm a Christian. I'm close to the Lord. If I lost the power of God on my life, I'd know it. I can tell you about somebody who was powerful. I mean, strong. But man, listen, you talking about demolition? Now, buddy, he was a demolition man. A man by the name of Samson. Hey, listen. He lost all of it, all that power, all that strength, his testimony and all. Lost his eyes, lost his vision, lost his hair. You listen to me? I'm talking about losing your head. You listen to me? The Bible says, go read in the book of Job. Listen, he wist not. He rose up as he would aforetime. He went back. He said, I'll take care of them. Where are they at? I'll get them. He wist not. He had no idea his power was gone. And there's so many Christians sitting in so many churches who once had the power of God on their life, the Holy Spirit of God, and they were close. They were sharp. They were there with a purpose, and they've lost their head, and they were loose with the Lord. He knew better. As soon as that axe head went, blah, blah, right into the water, into the river. You know what he didn't do? That crazy preacher, I can't believe him. told me to come down here and chop this wood and knock these trees down. It's his fault. If it wouldn't have been for that preacher, that man of God, if he hadn't told me to do this, hey, listen, I wouldn't have barred the thing in the first place. You ever barred something, then it broke? Oh, it seemed like every time I bar something, it breaks. Tommy raised me. Tommy, this is Tommy's golden rule. If I ever bar something from somebody, they'll get it back in as good or better shape than I barred it. He pounded that into me. And I'm the same way. If I break something, I'll buy it new for you before I give it back to you broke. Haley, this man didn't get that mentality of, well, blaming the preacher or blaming sister so-and-wiggle jaw or brother him. No, he just said, alas, oh my. He knew it was a problem, and he realized it. The power was gone. His purpose was gone. He couldn't keep on going. He was beating against the air with nothing. He lost his edge. He lost his head immediately. And you know what could help you as soon as you start losing it? Alas, Master. Cry out right then. Amen. Don't get so loose and wobbly. When it's getting to that point, say, Lord, I don't like this looseness, Lord. Tighten me up, Lord.
Amen.
But there it went, and he was in trouble, and he cried out. But you know exactly, he went to the man of God in the right spirit and said, oh, he said, and the man of, he said, alas, Master, for it was borrowed. And the man of God said, we're fit. Listen, he went straight to his preacher. He said, I'm in trouble. Oh, I'm in trouble, Brother Worsley. I barred this thing, and there it is in the water. Who could it? I mean, they didn't have metal detectors back then. They didn't have no scuba gear. No, this is a mess. And trust me, it may not be an actual axe head and you cutting in an actual tree kind of problem, but it could be the head comes off in your family. And you're going to need a preacher. You're going to need somebody. Say, oh, alas. Help, Lord. Help me. Somebody help me. Could be your finances and you just go belly up. Could be a phone call. And you're going to need, hey, listen, I've been cussed out, talked about, called Hitler and the man leading the ones drinking the Kool-Aid. I've been called all that, leading the cult. I've been called all that by the same people who would later come to me on their knees begging, oh, would you pray for my family? Would you preach my boy's funeral? Oh, mama's in the hospital. Preacher, would you come? Would you come? It ain't nothing big and bad about a preacher. I'm just telling you. Hey, listen. God give you one.
Amen.
Don't take it for granted.
Amen. Amen.
Yes, sir.
That's right.
Amen. All right.
There's some things in your life you're going to need your preacher. Learn. Say, hey, preacher, help. I'm getting in trouble. Before you lose it all. Hey. And when you feel like you have lost it all, don't be too prideful to come and say, help me.
Amen.
Amen. I don't care who you are. Hey, I need help. I call preachers. I got preachers that I call. You know what the preacher did? He said, where'd it go wrong? You know what that man did? He got honest.
Right.
He knew exactly where. He pointed to the place.
Right.
He didn't beat around the bush. He didn't say, well, you know, I just... 90, I'll tell you this, 90% of the counseling that I do could be done away with. Be like, y'all stand outside and do your fussing, and then when y'all ready to do business, come on in here and we'll talk. Most people won't come in for marriage counseling. It's like, she did it, he did it, she did it, he did it. And it's back and forth, and I just sit back and watch. And when they finally run out of hot air and breath, I say, now, did y'all come for help, or did y'all come for me to see a good fight? I mean, usually I have to pay for this stuff, pay-per-view, but y'all doing it for free.
Yeah.
He got honest. He said, where fell it? Hey, he said, it was right there. I was trying to do what you told us to do in the direction. He said, before I know it, things got loose, and there it went off in the water. I mean, you got to understand, this was a tragic event. This is a big deal to us. We think about an axe not being a big deal. We can just go buy another one. Hey, listen, it wasn't that way then.
Right.
This was a big deal. Do you know you could lose your life in these days for borrowing something and not being able to return it? It's a big deal. And I'm saying, hey, look. And the man of God said, where fell it? And showed him the place. Look at the remedy. Goodness, it's late. Read the next verse. He showed him the place. That sounds exactly like a verse in the New Testament lake, over in the lake chapters of Matthew chapter 20, around 27, I believe. And there's a verse that says, "And sitting down, they watched him there." Talking about Jesus. The soldiers were sitting down, and they watched him there on the cross. This verse says, and he showed him the place, and he cut down a stick. Let me find this. I got to find this in my notes. I can't remember all of it, and I want you to get it. That word stick is found many, many times in the Hebrew. The word stick is a piece of wood. It's a tree. It's a tree. It's found over 100 times in the Old Testament. That word stick is a piece of wood that he cast into the water. Does that remind you of another story in the Old Testament? And I'm just hurrying, so go with me quick. But run back to, remember when they come to the bitter waters of Marah, and they thought, "Oh, yes, finally water." And they was thirsty. And they all got down and supped it up, and it was bitter. They turned to the preacher and said, "How dare you bring us out here to die? You crazy preacher." He took that tree, threw the tree in the water, and turned the bitter waters sweet. It's just something about a tree. There's something about a tree. Here, the Bible says he threw it, and he cut down a stick and cast it in thither, and the iron did swim. There's something about a tree that's been cut down. The Lord can make your bitter water sweet. The Lord can do some. He can make your bad days good. He can take your situations that brings a death threat to you and give you life. I'm saying he can do amazing things when you can get to seeing that tree. You can be having the worst day in the world, Miss Connie, if you can just get back to Calvary and get under that tree and hang around there and look a while and remember what he did on an old rugged tree. It won't be long till your iron will swim and your problems that you thought was going to sink you will be swimming. Things that are bigger than you, things that you couldn't fix, things I can't fix. But if you can just get looking to that tree and remembering and reminiscing over, hey, it not been an old 2,000 year ago story about a man named Jesus and just a distant memory. But no, now it's warm, wet blood dripping off that old tree called Calvary. And you see him sitting down. They watched him there. And when you see him in the light of eternity and it being your sin and mine that nailed him there, all other problems seem to get so light, they begin to rise to the top.
Amen.
Yes. Wouldn't you agree?
Amen.
When you see what he went through for me and for you, all our troubles are but so small.
Amen.
And even our biggest troubles are small. He'll fix them. He has power to do things we can't. He mends broken things. Therefore, he said, "Take it up to thee." And he put out his hand and took it. You're going to have to do it by faith. You're going to see some things in the Christian. Hey, listen. You're going to see some things in the Christian life and in this church life going forward. Because I'm going to tell you, listen, Brother Ned, I'm not Andrew Kerrigan. I ain't got the testimony behind me that I've been here 50 years and I ain't got 50 years worth of y'all's trust. I need y'all to listen. Brother Jackie, I don't have 50 years. I ain't that old yet. So there's going to have to be some things we're going to have to step off into by faith, which is what God wants anyway. And I'll tell you this, Preacher Andrew Kerrigan didn't want you just stepping out on him. That ain't what the Lord's pleased with. You know how all this got here? 50 years worth of faith. Start out in a little white building down the hill. And if the God who took that little crowd in that little building down there and done all this and all the souls that have been saved, there had to be somebody along the way who said, I'll walk with you, preacher. I'll trust you. I'll trust you to trust God and we'll step out and believe God to do anything.
Amen.
That's how all this got here.
Right.
And we're going to have our experiences.
Right.
Where we're going to have to say, I don't see a way. I don't see how. It just don't seem like we can go forward. God will see to it that the iron will swim. And it'll be up to you. You can either sit there and gawk at it and say, wow, I saw iron swim. Or you can reach out and grab it and be part of it and remove the death sentence off your head, have the axe back in your hand, get close again back to God and be an instrument in the Lord's hand. Be usable for His glory. Be honorable to the Lord. Amen.
Amen.
That's what God wants us to be, is instruments, not gawkers saying, "Wow, I saw." No, I heard. No. Don't be hearers only. Don't just come to church and hear. Be doers.
Amen.
Be doers of the word. Heed. Don't just hear. Don't just see. Don't come to church and look and be a spectator.
Right.
Get involved. By faith, reach out and grab it. That's what he did. Ain't that what he did? If he hadn't reached out and said, he could have said, had the mentality, "I don't believe this. That's crazy. I ain't never seen that before." Well, iron don't swim. Well, it did.
Right.
It absolutely did. And he could have said, "I don't believe that. I ain't never saw that before. I ain't touching it." Have it your way.
Amen.
When the owner of the axe comes looking, it ain't going to be my fault. I'd encourage us all, by faith, God's doing something at our church. Anybody who's saved and got a thimble full of spirituality about you, I mean, you ain't got to be deep in the faith. You can just have a thimble full of spirituality about you to recognize God's doing something, moving. By faith, don't doubt it, don't cuss it. By faith, say, "My goodness, the iron's swimming. I believe I want to be a part of that." And by faith, reach out and grab hold to it. Be part of it. Be useful for the glory of God. Say, "I'll do my part." And when the axe head got back on, I'm sure that old boy with joy said, "Praise God, I ain't going to die now. I don't owe nobody nothing. I'm going back to chop wood." And got busy with it. Amen. By faith. There's going to be hard days. Stuff you never saw coming. But God will see to it the iron will swim. When you come tonight to get something, reach out and grab it. If you come to get it, get it. And you got it. Whether you go home with it, it's up to you. Let's stand together.